Oh, wow. So what are we talking about? Don't shout it out if you know what we're killing these next 3 weeks. But here's some more descriptions of what the it is that we're going to be talking about over the coming weeks. This is the it that keeps you from celebrating the successes of others. This it we want to kill, it keeps you from apologizing when you know you're wrong or admitting that you need help or that you're lost or that you have a weakness. It keeps you from being honest with yourself and others. It keeps you arguing your point even when you know you're wrong. It causes you to feel good when others fail. It causes you to cheat in order to avoid losing or to lie about your past and make excuses you know aren't true. And it causes you to have the last word in an argument and to buy things that you don't need to impress people you don't want. What is it? What is it? Pride. Yeah. Yeah, pride, arrogance. We have a lot of selfishness. We have a lot of words that describe it. And it is something that is worse than we think, and it must be killed. C.S. Lewis said this about it. Unchastity, it's another word for sex outside of marriage. Anger, greed, drunkenness are mere flea bites when compared to pride, because pride leads to every other vice. We tend to think, you know, all I'm struggling with is a little bit of pride, but pride is at the heart of everything that's bad in this world and everything that's bad within our own hearts. The unfortunate thing is, though, it's hard to see pride in ourselves. It's easy to see it in our coworkers and our neighbors and family. Oh my goodness. You know, and we can see pride easily in others, but it's something very difficult to see in ourselves. And pride is one of those things that it's at the root of every other sin. So if you're lying, why are you lying? Because I want to make myself look better, right? It's about me. Lies are always about me. I want to avoid consequences to me, so I'm going to lie. Why do you steal? Well, because what I want is more important than what you have, you know, and what you want. And why, even murder, fill in the blank, every murder motivation is it's for this and it's for me, right? I murder because you have something I want and you got in the way and it's all about me. Or I murder because of what you said and you disrespected me, and my feelings of respect are more important than your life. And so all sins ultimately come back to pride and selfishness. If we can kill this, we're perfect. You know? And so how do we starve it? How do we make it less? And it is interesting because we see pride in other people really clearly. They say pride is the only disease that makes everyone sick except that one who has it, right? Right? Someone has pride and you're like, you know, but if you have pride, huh, you don't realize it. I think pride is a lot like a vampire. A vampire is a mythical creature that does not see its own reflection. You can't see its reflection in a mirror. You can't see it in yourself, the vampire, but you can see it clearly in others. Another interesting thing about a vampire is, how do you kill it? You got to drive a stake right through its heart. Jesus says, you know, you need to, Paul said, I die daily. Jesus said, you need to take up your cross and follow me. You have to kill your own desires and your own pride in order to follow Jesus. Unfortunately, garlic has no effect on pride, but the cross does. Right? And again, a vampire. What stops a vampire? The cross. And this is where, to stop pride, we need to go to the cross and to go to Jesus and follow him and see his example. So we're going to do that this morning. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. And it says this about Jesus: in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. And, you know, pride affects our relationships more than anything. And we see pride in our relationships more than any other place. And so in our relationships with one another, we need to have the mindset of Jesus Christ. Verse 6, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even death on a cross. The first thing that I want to point out in this passage about pride is that the invitation to follow Jesus is an invitation to unfollow pride. You can't do both. You can't be living for yourself, pride, and also following Jesus. Pastor Jeff earlier in the announcements talked about these flowers and saying, this is a decision to follow Jesus, right? And that's what we need to do. And to do that, you can't follow pride. If there was anyone who should have been focused on himself, it was Jesus, right? If you had gone up to Jesus and said, who do you think you are, God? He would have said, why, actually, yes, right? Like, what, you think this entire universe, like, was made for you? Actually, I made the entire universe, yes. Billions, actually trillions of galaxies, each with billions, if not hundreds of billions of stars in each. This is who Jesus is. And you'd think he'd come to the earth with a little chip on his shoulder. You know, like, you need to worship me. How dare you not worship me? Like, this universe is about me. It's for me. But that's not how he came. He came with humility. He didn't come with pride, and that's what these verses are talking about. The greatest act of pride is when we put ourselves in God's place. Pride is when we put ourselves in God's place. Humility is when Jesus put himself in our place. That is the greatest act, when God put himself in our place. That's the greatest act of humility, to contrast the greatest act of pride. One of my definitions of humility is not a lack of self-confidence, okay? I don't know everyone who's here today, but I'm just going to guess, and don't correct me now, Joe. Correct me later. All right. I'm just going to say Joe is the best drummer in the room, okay? Woo! You got like a fan club. Three people. One, two, and the guy in the back. She wasn't even clapping. That's okay. No, so if you know, for him to say that, and I don't know, maybe there's somebody he knows that is not a statement of pride, because it's true. But what is pride is if Joe then thinks, because I'm the best drummer in the room, that makes me more important than the rest of you. Right? That's what pride is. And why is that wrong? Because it's not true. It's not reality. And we live in a time and age and in our culture where we're told, well, that's your truth, but this is my truth. Oh, that makes me so frustrated. That's ridiculous. My truth is that there's no wall there, and I'm going to run that way out to my car. Right? That's my truth. What's going to happen to my truth? It's going to hit the wall, and I'm going to hurt myself, and then I should get all upset at you because you didn't back up my truth. No, reality punishes those who deny reality. And that's what pride is. Pride is a denial of reality. The reality is that God is on the throne and he is in charge and he is the Lord, and that other people are equally as important to me, and that if I put myself above others or even above God, I'm living in a fantasy world, and reality will smack me just like hitting a wall and show that that's not the case. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So here's two ways to try to kill pride from this passage that we just read and the example of Jesus. Number one, pride is killed when you fight for the rights of others instead of your own. Not just fighting for you. And here's verse 6. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage? He didn't go through life saying, don't you know I'm equal to God? You should be worshiping me right now. You should be bowing down. You should be serving me. You should be washing my feet. You should be... He didn't do that. It wasn't this equality with God. He was equal with God. He didn't have to, like, have everyone, you know, prove that they were on the same page with him. He didn't come with that chip on his shoulder. Pride fights for my reputation. Humility fights for the reputation of God and others. Now, Jesus did fight for God's reputation. And he did clear the temple. Why? Because I'm upset at what you're doing? No, because my Father's house will be called a house of prayer. I'm going to fight for my Father and what he deserves. But I'm not going to fight for me and what I deserve. Right? That's the difference between pride and humility. Humility is so freeing. Right? Because if you're humble and somebody thinks that you're a nothing, who cares? Who cares what you think? Because you don't define reality. I know who I am with God. And that is almost nothing, but it's with God. And I don't care what you think. But if you're proud, well, no. You got to give me my due. I have to make you put me up here. And it's so exhausting. Here's a great example of someone who fought for the equality of others. I think the greatest speech in American history was given by Martin Luther King Jr. It's called I Am a Dream speech. And as he closes, he says this, all God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, we'll be able to join hands and sing together the old Negro spirituals, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last. Here's the question I have for you. In that statement that he made, was Martin Luther King Jr. a Jew? No, he wasn't a Jew. But he fought for the rights of Jews. Was he Catholic? No, he wasn't Catholic. He was Protestant. But he fought for the rights of Catholics. Was he a white man? No, he wasn't a white man, but he didn't just fight for the rights of black men. He fought for the rights of white men. He fought for the rights of Asians, of Hispanics, of, you see, and so when we're only obsessed with equality for me and mine, that's a sign of pride. But humility means we're going to fight for the rights of others. And be thinking about others. That's how you kill pride. Second way to kill pride, pride is killed when you serve others. Verse 7 says this, rather he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. It's ironic that the goal of pride is to make yourself bigger, right? I want people to see how great I am. But in reality, it diminishes you. If you're proud, you become dumber because you can't learn because nobody can teach you because you're too proud to be taught. And if you're proud, you have lesser influence because you can never apologize and say you're wrong. And so you burn one relationship after the other relationship. And with this desire to be seen as bigger, you actually become smaller and have less influence. But ironically, pride is killed, and we actually do become bigger when we're servants. See, pride is so full of itself that it pushes everybody out, and at its worst, it even pushes God out. There are a lot of people say they're atheists because of the intellectual problems they have with God. And if you have intellectual problems with God, you're watching online, maybe you're here, someone invited you here today, and you have intellectual problems, talk to me, talk to Pastor Jeff, talk to, you know, raise your hand in the chat thing online. I think you can do that. Click some button. And talk to someone about your intellectual questions, because my guess is that often it's not the intellectual questions that keep you from putting God on his throne. It's pride. It's, I just don't want to submit to someone else. But it's killed when we serve others. And serving seems like I'm demoting myself. I'm lowering myself. I'm making myself less. But think about the greatest people you've known. Think about the people that you esteem and respect and put up on a pedestal more than anyone. And ask yourself, were they servants? I would think they were. And their impact in your life was not one of always being right and always, telling you what to do and you always... No, they're great people. They're people like if you could spend a day with anyone, living or dead, who would it be? And it's probably someone who was humble and who served. The best bosses. Man, the best bosses get down with their employees and they serve, right? And they show you how it's done and they help you and they're there longer and they work harder than you do. Service actually makes us bigger, even though it's the way of humility. Even depression can be tied to pride. Now, there's two kinds of depression that people experience. There's physical, and then there's also a spiritual and relational aspect to it. If you are depressed and you have no reason to be depressed, like you think, like, I don't know why I'm depressed. I wake up weeping. I'm just so incredibly sad, and my life is really not bad. Okay, that is a physical problem, and you need to see a doctor. All right, if you're depressed and you just went through a divorce, okay, you're normal. All right, it's not a good state to be in, but you have a reason to be depressed. If you just lost someone you loved and you are just depressed, if you are on the brink of bankruptcy and you have all this financial problems in your life and it's overwhelming and you're depressed, okay, there is a reason for your depression. And physical medicine may help you, but you need to address the spiritual and relational aspect of it. And a lot of times there's pride there because depressed people think constantly of themselves. I'm such a screw up. I mess up so bad. Man, you are so stupid, Bob. I can't believe you're so dumb. And what am I doing? I'm thinking about myself constantly. In fact, C.S. Lewis, he's one of my favorite authors, and another thing that he had said was, he says, pride is not, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's just thinking about yourself less. So humility isn't, I'm a terrible, awful person who will never do anything right. That's not humility. That's not true. It's not true of anyone here. But humility is, you know what? Instead of obsessing about what I'm doing wrong, I'm going to think about somebody else. And I'm going to serve someone else. And I'm going to pray for someone else. Right? And that's the way out. The last thing you want to do if you're depressed, one of the last things, is to be with other people. It's what you need. It's what you need. And to get your mind, a depressed person does not need more time alone in their mind because that's not a good place, right? You got to get out of your mind and in humility, stop thinking about yourself and think about somebody else and maybe somebody else's problems. Having the same mindset of Christ Jesus, taking the very nature of a servant. Last thing, if you're taking notes on the Bridgewater app, it's mentioned like three times, but pride says wait, Jesus says initiate. This is another thing about humility. Verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, was he a victim? Victims are passive. A victim is someone who has something done to you. Jesus was not a victim. He was a victor. He chose obedience, knowing that obedience would mean the cross. Obedience would mean people would hate him. Obedience would mean people would mock him. And if you are mocked for doing the right thing, if you are hurt for obeying God, you are not a victim. You're a victor, just like Jesus, because humility takes the initiative in reconciliation. If two people are proud, they will never reconcile. Because neither one will ever admit they're wrong. But this is what Jesus does that is so crazy. He wasn't the wrong one. We were wrong. And he didn't wait for us to give him a call. He didn't wait for us to fix things and clean things up and then come to him. Jesus initiated. And he said, I'm going to, in my humility, in my servant mindset, I'm going to go first. I'm going to make the first move, and I'm going to come to earth, and I'm going to die for each and every one of you in this room here today. Jesus initiated reconciliation. And so if Jesus could go all the way to the cross, can I obey all the way to saying I'm sorry to my spouse or coworker? If Jesus obeyed all the way to the cross, can I obey all the way to shutting up and letting someone else take the glory? Maybe there's someone here today and you're thinking of a person in your life who's wronged you, and you've been waiting for them to say they're sorry. Maybe it's been years and they still have not come back and tried to initiate a restoring of the relationship. Reconciliation means going from an enemy to a friend. It's that process of changing someone from an enemy to a friend. And you're thinking, you know, I'm waiting for them. It's their move. Well, maybe following Jesus means it's your move. Because humility and following initiates as Jesus did. Here's two questions just to take away today as we go from here. And I'd encourage you, we're going to sing a song in a little bit. And after the song, like the typical thing is get up and leave and be friendly and talk to people. You know what? I don't think it would be a bad thing to not get up and leave and to ask one or both of these questions to the people seated next to you and say, what are you going to do about this? How would you answer this question? And if you're watching at home, I'd encourage you, if you're with anyone at home, do the same thing. Like just say, hey, let's talk about this before we go on with the rest of our lives. Or if you're alone, give someone a call. But here's the questions. Here's the first one. How can I talk with greater humility? The mindset of Jesus. What would Jesus say? How can I talk? And the goal of these questions is not so that you can hide your pride better, right? It is possible. This is, humility is the mindset of Jesus. But, you know, I can't see your mind. And sometimes we can't, it's hard to fix our minds. One of the best ways to fix your mind is through your actions, right? There's like this feedback loop. How you act affects your thinking. What you say affects your thinking. What you think affects your saying. And so, change what you can change. Change your mindset, but how can I talk with greater humility? Here's one of the ways I need to, and that's I interrupt people. Do you know why I interrupt people? Because what I want to say is more important than the stupid thing you were just saying. And what is that? Well, that's not humility, right? That's pride. And so how can I talk with greater humility? Can you compliment someone else and let them shine? How do you talk with greater humility? Maybe it's something, maybe you need to confess a sin. And what's been holding you back from saying what you need to say, you don't know about this, I've been keeping it a secret, but James 5 says, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so you can be healed. And I need to confess this sin to you because you need to help me. But you haven't been doing that. You haven't said that because you're too proud to let someone know that you have a problem. Right? So how can I talk with greater humility? And then the second question, how can I serve with greater humility? Pride is so slippery, so deceptive. Some of the proudest people think they're humble, but our actions betray us. And you look at your actions, and do I serve others with my life, or is my life all about me? I'm retired, right? When you retire, that's what your life is about. It's about you. I've done my service of other people. The rest of my life is all about me, for me. Really? So how can we serve others? How can you serve your physical family? How can you serve people at work? How can you serve your church family? You know, we're really, Christians are among the best rationalizers on earth, and they use these spiritual words. You know, like if they ask you to do something, you know, hey, could you do that for me? And you say no, they say, well, why don't you pray about it? It's so manipulative. Like, okay, I prayed. No. Like, what? Like, tell someone, take some time and think about it. I mean, but boy, you say pray about it. It's almost like if you do what I want, that's spiritual. If you do what you want, that's ungodly. Pray about it. You know, so we're so, and one of the rationalizing things people say about church is, you know, I'm not going to serve others at church because I don't want to go to church for others. I want to go to church for God, right? So I go to church because it's just me and God, and if I were to go to church and serve, then that would take the highlight off of God. Here's what Jesus says about that. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen. And he said, and the second is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. One of the best ways you can go to church for God is to go to church and serve other people while you're there. And thankfully, at Bridgewater, you don't have to have hardly any skills to serve. Okay? Pretty much anybody can set up chairs and take them down. Not everybody can greet, but many of you can actually be friendly. And with the mask, you don't even have to smile. You just have to squint. People think you're smiling, you know. So, but to greet, to be in the parking lot, direct people and be friendly, and to serve in kids' ministry, you have to pass a background check to do that. But, you know, there are some bars that need to be passed, but to serve. And you know what? There's a verse, 2 John. There's a verse somewhere in 2 John that says this, I have no greater joy, John is saying, than to hear my children are walking in the truth. And you know, this Sunday morning, my daughter is singing in Tunkhannock, and my other daughter is working in the nursery in Montrose, and my 15-year-old son is working in kids ministry in Montrose. And then we're here in Conklin because we only have 3 cars. So that's everybody. And actually, we only have 2 cars. Our daughter, Karis, has her own car, but she's an adult. How can I serve others and serve like Jesus? And there's some people that are home today that are watching this online and they're saying, well, I can't come in. But you can serve others. You can pick up the phone. You can write a letter. You can get in contact with people and serve them and initiate. And you might be at home today thinking, how come no one has called me? No one cares about me. That's a prideful position because you believe the world is about you. And have the mindset of Jesus Christ, who said, I'm going to serve others and I'm going to think of others and I'm going to initiate and reach out to others. And here's a great question for everyone here or online. 2 initiating questions. How can I pray for you? What is God teaching you spiritually? How can I pray for you? Basically, how are you doing? Has God been teaching you anything spiritually? Give someone a call. If you were to do that and initiate with 5 to 10 people, I'm telling you, that would make an impact for eternity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you didn't wait for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Lord, I just ask that you would help us to kill it. And it just keeps popping up in my life. And I see it in how I talk. I see it in how I act. And I just can't kill it on my own. I need the cross. I need you. I need Jesus Christ. I just pray that in my life, in the life of everyone listening today, that we would become more like Jesus, that we would embrace humility, and that you would kill pride in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.